The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning, church. It is great to be gathered together this morning. The reason why we showed that video is because next week we have the privilege of hearing from Krish Kandai. Now, many of you wouldn't know who Krish is, but Krish is a highly sought-after communicator from the United Kingdom, and we are blessed to have him speaking at our youth ministry conference on Saturday. Our youth ministry conference is called Encore, and Youth Vision are hosting a big conference here at LifeStreams next weekend, and we're praying for over 150 youth leaders. So if you're a youth leader here or a budding young youth leader and you haven't signed up for that yet, can I encourage you to get along? It's cheap, $25. It's not going to be cheap in content, though. It's going to be rich in content, and we've got Krish as our speaker for all day Saturday. And then we're blessed enough to have him on Sunday. And the reason why I played that bumper is so that you get to know him a little bit. You get to know a little bit of his heart, because as a church, we haven't been kind of real great at coming out for someone that we don't really know. So I almost feel like I need to get on my knees and beg you to be here next week, because it's going to be excellent. I want to tell you a little bit more about Krish. Aside from being a really great guy, Krish has extensive experience in evangelism and mission to youth and young adults in the UK. He's and also forming young leaders for mission and ministry. He's an author, and you just heard the little bumper about Paradoxology, which is a book that's proving to be a massive resource across the globe. He's a speaker, a teacher, evangelist. He's an adoption advocate, so he advocates adoption in the UK. He's served as a director with the Evangelical Alliance. He loves Jesus, he loves the church, and he loves it when young people come to know Jesus and they connect with his church. Krish has recently started as the head of the London School of Theology, which basically means he knows his stuff. And church, I cannot stress strongly, you need to be here next week. It's going to be fantastic. And love you to make the space to be here, because we're going to be blessed having Krish. Now, Krish could have essentially spoken at any church in our city on Sunday, but we've been blessed enough to get him. Riverview wanted him so bad that they rang me for about 3 weeks asking for him. So that just says how much sought after he is. So can you be here? It's going to be great. And secondly, I also would love to let you know that yesterday, after a lot of prayer and hard work by the servant leadership team and the due diligence team, we signed the lease, okay? We signed the lease. There's a picture up here. Okay, there's Clint and Sue signing the lease. And the lease, so if you're not aware, the lease essentially gives Berrington Care Group the go-ahead to build a 99 high care, aged care facility on the northwest part of our block. And we are super excited about this, because this partnership will not only enable us to minister to 99 elderly people in the latter stages of their life, which we're excited about, it also means that we're able to minister to all of their family, and we're also going to be able to minister to all the staff that are going to be on the site serving and loving the elderly people in this building. It also means that we're going to be blessed with a huge lump sum upfront payment of $2 million, which we're going to be able to sow back into Kingdom Ministry here at LifeStreams, and also an annual lease payment of over $100,000 every year after that. And also, the other really cool thing, and we value this pretty highly, is that for a dollar a year, they're going to let us lease 250 square metres on the bottom floor of this facility. And for a long time now, well over 10 years, we've had a dream to run a life care healthcare centre, and that's what we're planning to use that 250 square metres for. So I don't know about you, this is phenomenal. This is another step in our story as LifeStreams Christian Church South Perth. And I reckon it's worth giving God a shout of praise. So let's do that. So there's still a little bit, still a lot of work to be done. You know, we've got to go visit the Department of Lands, the Minister of the Department of Lands this week. We'd love you to pray for us as we do that. That's another significant step. And then hopefully early next year we'll start seeing some soil being turned and, ushering in a new exciting phase in our story. So thank you for praying for us. I'd love us to pray. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we can be gathered here today, gathered together in your name. And Lord, thanks that we have the privilege of hosting Krish next week, next weekend. And I pray that we'd all make the effort to be here and to hear God through him. And Lord, we also want to praise you and thank you for a signed lease. Lord, we got there. It's great. So please continue to go before us as we seek to make this happen. And Lord, I also want to pray for this morning. I want to pray that you'd speak to each of us by your Spirit through your word. May our hearts be soft. Lord, thanks for the scripture that's in Romans that says faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Build our faith as we learn more about you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today, we continue our new series called Pursuing Your Kingdom Life. It's based on, last week I said, it's based on the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher this world has ever seen in one of the best auditoriums the world has ever seen, on the side of a mountain on the northeast shore of Galilee, and you'll see the picture there. And you know, it's our hope and it's our prayer that over the next 14 weeks, the series is going to go for 14 weeks, and we're going to have a bit of a break for Christmas and a bit of a break for January, and then it'll continue after that. But for the 14 weeks that we look at this series, no matter where you might be at on your spiritual journey, I pray that you would see yourself as one on the side of that mountain, hungry and thirsty to hear every single word that comes out of the mouth of Jesus as we look at the scriptures together. Hungry to hear about what it means to live out and to pursue this kingdom life. Now, last week we spoke about the first four Beatitudes, and they essentially were, I'll just do as a bit of a wrap, a blessed attitude knows where they stand before God. If you were here last week, that would ring a bell. A blessed attitude mourns over sin. A blessed attitude is meek. A blessed attitude hungers and thirsts after God. They're the four Beatitudes that we looked at together last week. And last week we talked about selfies. Remember selfies from last week? And I asked you a very deeply personal question, and that was, have you ever taken a selfie? And some have, some haven't. So those that haven't, remember we said, okay, let's look at it as, the vintage selfie is looking in the mirror. And anyway, that created a lot of things this week that came my way. And I want to show you a couple of these selfies. Hey, this is a church selfie from last Sunday. Okay, that's clearly not my best side. Also, this is the appreciation night selfie. Last Sunday night was a great Sunday night together celebrating all of our... And this is the quokka selfie that came through. How cool is that? And then also, remember I talked about a selfie stick? And this is the Extendo selfie stick. And Dave McPherson found this on his travels. And then he took a picture of himself with the selfie stick. Okay, there it is, the Macca selfie stick selfie. So, selfies, you're probably thinking, why the heck are we talking about selfies? So, for those of you who weren't here, the reason why we talked about selfies was because I wanted to ask you these questions. I wanted to ask you, what do you see? What do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see when you look at a picture that is a selfie? Okay? Have you ever wondered, who do people see when they look at me? Who do people see when I post that selfie and it comes up on everyone's Facebook feed? Do people see Jesus showing through me? And then I said, well, it's been said that the Beatitudes are a self-portrait of Christ. And I made the comment, well, they're kind of like, the Beatitudes are kind of like a Jesus selfie. Okay, so hopefully you know where I'm going. And then we talked about the fact that our attitudes govern the type of people that we become. Our attitudes are so important. And I guess as I read the Beatitudes, I believe they describe attitudes and characteristics that'll help us become more like Jesus. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's all about his people becoming more like him, becoming more like Jesus. I came across this awesome verse during the week, and I thought I'd share it with you. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it's out of the New American Standard. And it says, but we all, with unveiled face, you know, the veil has been removed because of Christ, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. What an awesome verse that is very much connected to what we're talking about this morning. So as we look at the remaining four Beatitudes, I pray that you'll see Jesus. You'll see Jesus as we read the Word together this morning. And that you'll not only just see him, but you'll be drawn to him, and that you will want to follow him, you will want to continue to follow him, and that you will want to continue to have your life transformed into his image, so that when you look at your selfie, you don't see yourself. Who do you see? You see Jesus. So can anyone this morning remember what beatitude means? Someone quickly? Blessed. Fantastic. That's what the word means. It means blessed. And blessed means the favor of God. So whenever we hear that word blessed, I want you to think favor of God. You know, the favor of God is over me when? That's what I'd love us to do. So today's first beatitude is from Matthew 5, verse 7. And it reads this, like this. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The question this morning is this. What is our attitude towards mercy? You know, it's been said that mercy may actually be God's most central attribute, his most central characteristic. Remember this, Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in what? Mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christ follower and you're here this morning, you have received God's mercy. You have experienced God's mercy. And I guess what I want to say is that because of his great mercy, and because we've experienced his great mercy, we need to then share that mercy to others. So what does it mean to be merciful? Well, merciful embraces these characteristics. It embraces the characteristics of being generous. It embraces the characteristics of forgiving those who are guilty. You know, someone may have wronged you, sinned against you. Are you prepared to forgive them? It's about having compassion for those who suffer, for the needy, and providing all sorts of healing. All providing healing of every kind. That's mercy. And mercy is an essential characteristic of being a disciple for Jesus. So I wonder, what is your spiritual selfie look like in this beatitude? What is your attitude like when it comes to mercy? Are you merciful? Do you forgive? Are you generous? And when was the last time that you showed compassion? Eugene Peterson, for those of you who don't know, wrote the Message version of the Bible, And he writes, "You're blessed when you care. Favor of God is all over you when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for." Let's move on to verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, I spent a bit of time in this area, and I really wanted to try and understand this and communicate this well. So, as I dug, commentators actually believe that pure in heart here has kind of two interrelated implications. Firstly, they believe it's about moral purity. So that's the first thing. You think, you know, pure of heart has something to do with living a pure life. So that's the first part, moral purity. And then the second part, it's about being single-minded. It's about being focused on Jesus. It's about being focused on the kingdom life. Now, Barker writes this. I've put this on a slide so you can follow along. "It's impossible to have one characteristic without the other. They need to go together. Purity, single-mindedness. The one who is single-minded in commitment to the kingdom and its righteousness will also be inwardly pure. Inward sham, deceit, moral filth cannot exist with sincere devotion to Christ." And as I sort of pondered this, it sort of came to my mind that this beatitude is actually about ridding God's people of hypocrisy. And you know what? That is something that Christians are renowned for in the world, isn't it? One of the first things the world says about Christians is they're all hypocrites. Now, I want to say that this is not about being perfect, but it's about being committed to pleasing God with your life. All of your life. And then I got thinking, you know, have you ever noticed in your walk with Jesus, you know, that kind of, when you're walking closely with him, your heart is pure, you feel like you might have overcome some of those sins that just hold you back from pursuing the kingdom life. You're focused on the kingdom. Have you ever noticed that when you're walking well with God, that it feels, he feels close? And everything seems clear. I don't know whether you feel like this, but it's definitely my experience. It's like you hit a sweet spot in your relationship with Jesus. The word becomes alive. Worship becomes vibrant. Prayer is real. And your relationships are significant. You see God in everything. Have you experienced those sweet spots? I remember David in, you know, as a young guy sitting here in the church many years ago, long time ago now, and David Stanford in one of his sermons shared about how, you know, he did give us an illustration of a windscreen in our car. So you're driving, and if your windscreen is really dirty, like mine gets from time to time, and you know that late afternoon when the sun goes down, it is difficult to see out of a windscreen when it's dirty, right? And that made me think. I wonder, what does the windscreen of your heart look like today? As you ponder that windscreen, are you cultivating a pure heart? Maybe there is some sin that you need to deal with. Does the windscreen of your heart need a good clean? Eugene Peterson says, "You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." Amen. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. What is your attitude towards peacemaking? It's interesting, as I was looking for an image, I Googled the word peacemaker because I wanted an image like that to put on the slide, and guess what came up? Full screen of guns. So in the US, there must be a gun over there called a peacemaker. And then that reminded me a few years ago when we... that's interesting, isn't it? I remember hearing a story of a preacher from the UK who was out here in Perth, and he said that he preached through the Beatitudes, and he must come from a really rough part of the UK, because when they focused on this Beatitude, they actually had an amnesty bin at the front door. And he encouraged his church to bring stuff that would encourage his community to become more peaceful. And he told us that at the end of that service, they went and they opened up that amnesty bin, and it was full of weapons, it was full of knives, and it even had a gun in it. It's interesting, hey? You know, a peacemaker is one who works for peace. They work for peace rather than hate, rather than distress, rather than war and strife. And for the disciples of Jesus, peacemaking has two edges. It involves, you know, our kingdom life involves helping people find and follow Him. So that's our mission. Two edges. The first edge is help people find and follow Him to be reconciled to God. And then secondly, our other mandate is to make sure that we also help people to be reconciled to each other. And I would add even there that there's a mandate for us to be reconciled in our own relationships. So we are to preach the gospel. We are to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. And we need to seek all kinds of reconciliation. And you know what? Those who undertake this noble task of peacemaking, those who work in this area, are called children of God. I mean, how good is that? A peacemaker is known and is called a children of God, a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God if you are committed to making peace. So what does your spiritual selfie look like in this beatitude? Are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Do you need to, this morning, deposit something into that peacemaking amnesty bin? That make-believe one that we've got out there. Are you concerned for those in your world who are not yet reconciled to God? And do you need to be reconciled to someone in your world? Are you the peacemaker in your family, your workplace, your school? Eugene Peterson says, "You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family." Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I wonder what is your attitude towards persecution? You know, this beatitude is very much linked to the one that we've just looked at, peacemaking. Because I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but sometimes peacemakers are not always welcome in situations of conflict. And you know what? It's not always easy to live as a Christ follower in our world. We have attitudes that are very different to that of the world, and sometimes the world doesn't like our perspective. Have you noticed that? There's a few hotties around at the moment where the world just doesn't like our perspective. You know, verse 10 says that the favor of God is all over those who experience persecution because of what? Because of righteousness. And if you remember last week, we said that righteousness is, it has two edges as well. Personal, it's personal, and it's about my commitment to wholly doing God's will. And it's also global, it's that commitment to see justice done throughout the earth. And when you think of righteousness in those terms, in that light, is there any wonder we might experience a bit of opposition from time to time? You see, righteousness is about advancing the kingdom of God. And you know what, church? The devil hates that. And the devil is going to do whatever he can. He's going to throw all sorts of persecution at you. He's going to mobilize a whole heap of persecution in the hope that we will get weary, in the hope that we will get jaded and ask things like, is this really worth it? Man, my family's getting afflicted, or man, I'm sick of this. And he does it in the hope that we will ultimately quit. He doesn't want us advancing the kingdom of God. So it's really important that we have a spiritual attitude here. And we remember the promise. What's the promise in those verses, church? What's the promise? The promise is the kingdom of heaven. We need to keep the perspective here, don't we? The kingdom of heaven is promised for those who suffer persecution for living a righteous life. And the interesting thing here is that it's the same promise linked to one of the Beatitudes we looked at last week, which was poor in spirit. Imagine persecution often gets our spirit in a poor state. So that's just an interesting comment. Then in verse 11 and 12, it switches from the third person to the second, and Matthew personalizes it for us. In verse 11, it says, blessed are you. Blessed are you, church. Blessed are you, Ian Mullins. When people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What are we encouraged to do when we are persecuted, church? What are we encouraged to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. I don't know about you, but that sounds a whole heap easier to say than to do. But you know what? We can rejoice and be glad, because great is our reward in heaven. We need to keep perspective here. So don't give out. Don't give up, church. It's worth it. It's worth it. So what does your spiritual selfie look like in this beatitude? What is your attitude towards persecution? How do you respond to persecution when you experience it? Do you get all upset, and do you want to throw it all in, or do you rejoice? Do you rejoice? Peterson says, you're blessed when you commit to God. Your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Church, as we read the Beatitudes, we find that they represent attitudes that are radically different from this world, don't they? Radically different. The world praises pride, not humility. The world endorses sin, especially sin you can get away with. The world loves war and strife, while God is seeking peace and to reconcile his enemies and make them his children. Today we've looked at four Beatitudes. We looked at our attitude towards mercy. We've looked at our attitude towards purity. We've looked at our attitude towards peacemaking. And we've looked at our attitude towards persecution. And if you were here last week, you might remember me sharing this quote. And again, I want to put it before you this morning. The Beatitudes are not a standard for me to achieve, but a yardstick by which to measure my submission to the Holy Spirit. And church, this morning, I want to just give you a few moments. I think it's really important that we just stop. And, you know, you've been hearing my voice. I want you to hear the voice of the Spirit. And I want to give you a few moments now just to measure your submission to the Holy Spirit as you reflect on these verses. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is He calling you to do? Just a few moments. The favor of God is all over those who are committed to a kingdom life that is characterized by mercy, by purity, by peacemaking, and also has a healthy attitude towards persecution. The last 2 weeks we've looked at a self-portrait of Jesus. He's holy, he's righteous, he's forgiving, he's merciful, he's powerful, but he's meek. He's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, our Saviour and our friend. And I wonder, do you know him? I wonder, do you know him? He wants to be your friend. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, can I encourage you to become one? It says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you would like to do that today, I'd love you to come and chat with one of the leaders, one of the people that are going to be down here in a moment to pray. Love you to have a chat. And one of those leaders or pastors after the service would love to lead you in a simple prayer of commitment. We'd love to give you a Bible, and we'd love to help you in your first steps as you learn to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for the way you have spoken to us over the last 2 weeks through your word. Thanks that the Beatitudes are your self-portrait, and they describe to us who you are and your kingdom. And they also show us the way that you want us to live in a world that has very, very different attitudes. Lord, please, test our attitudes. And if they need to be changed, change them so that we can continue to look more and more like you. In the name of Jesus, I pray.